Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really opening the book on the kind of unspoken rules of venture capital, the ones that, have less to do with your market size and maybe everything to do with just your behavior.
Exactly. We're diving into some serious, tough love, I guess you could call it. Looking at those instant deal breakers, the things that get founders disqualified, like immediately, often without them even knowing why.
Yeah, and our source for this deep dive is fascinating. It's called Excerpts from Angel to Exit: How to Not Sell to Investors.
That's right. And the author is an investor who's actually tracked why over 600 companies they invited to their accelerator. Well, why they failed to get funded. So this is in theory. It's pretty candid, almost brutal, really. A look at operational mess-ups and, frankly, bad attitudes.
So our mission for you listening, whether you're a founder or just interested in this world, is to pull out the seven key hints this investor gives. The idea is if you can avoid these specific traps, you're already ahead of like hundreds of others who waste everyone's time.
Their own time included.
Right. Okay, let's unpack this. Starting with, well, what sounds like it should be the easiest thing, just paying attention.
Yeah, the attention test. It sounds almost unbelievable. But the investor's biggest frustration seems to be a basic inability to, read and listen.
It sounds basic, but how bad is it really?
Well, according to the source, the majority of those 600 plus companies failed right away on the reading part.
How? What did they miss?
They failed to read the very first sentence on the website and the platform's tagline.
Seriously, the first sentence.
Yep, they missed the crucial detail that the platform they were applying to is an accelerator, explicitly.
Okay, so that's hint one and two right there. Basic research failure, just not reading.
Exactly. And the investor's take is, look, if you're unable or unwilling to read a page of text to understand that fundamental difference accelerator versus, say, a standard seed fund, you're basically telling them you lack attention to detail. It's a huge red flag.
But hang on, is missing just one word accelerator really enough to sink a potentially great idea? Isn't that a bit
Yeah.
rigid?
Well, the investor argues it's necessary for them to scale. If you miss that word accelerator, it signals your whole pitch might be off base. You probably tailored it for a generic VC, right? So it doesn't align with their accelerator model from the get-go. It's a waste of time.
Okay. So it's not just the word, it's what the word implies about their whole process.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And they emphasize that all the details, like our deal flow, it's all laid out clearly on the website under the investment section. It's not hidden.
It's just ignored.
Ignored. Yeah.
Okay, so that makes the cost of not reading pretty clear. Now, if you do pass the reading test, you then hit the listening test. That's hint three, right? The listening problem.
Yes. The investor describes how lots of founders in the very first call will ask questions that were literally answered at the start of that same call.
Oh.
Or they'll just ignore the investor's questions or comments completely and just, steamroll ahead with their reverse pitch.
So it's like they're treating the meeting as a performance, not a conversation.
Exactly. The investor says something like, I listen to each presenter, ask reasonably lucid questions, make comments. But some founders just seem to treat them like, I don't know, background noise.
Wow. That feels disrespectful, but what's the deeper implication for the investor?
It's profound, actually. If you can't pause your pitch and process feedback in a high-stakes meeting, the investor projects that onto your future performance. How agile will you be? Can you take direction? Can you even hear market feedback?
So it becomes an immediate red flag for just basic organizational discipline.
Yeah, and your ability to pivot later on. If you can't listen now, why would they think you'll listen later when things get tough?
Okay, that makes sense. So assuming you pass those hurdles, you read the site, you actually listen in the meeting.
Right.
What's next? Urgency. Right. Let's get into the efficiency and process stuff. Hints four and five.
Right. So hint four is all about following instructions and, crucially, timeliness after that first pitch. There are two paths forward based on what the investor says. They explicitly say they're interested. Great. You get free access to their metrics package or form.
Okay, free access. And if they don't say they're interested.
You're not necessarily out. You can still choose to pay a nominal fee. The source says less than $100 for that same form, plus you get feedback and further consideration.
Interesting. So there's still a path, but then comes the deadline, which sounds intense.
Yeah, it's pretty strict. They run these quick pitch events twice a month. Then there's a follow-up Ask Anything session about a week later. And here's the key. You have to accept the invite for the metrics form, whether it's the free one or the paid one, and fill it out within just a few days.
How long does the form take?
The investor claims less than an hour.
Less than an hour, okay. And you need it back before that next meeting.
Exactly, before the follow-up session, which is only about a week after the initial pitch.
Wow, okay. That's fast. What's the logic there?
This is the core of their rationale. If it takes a founder more than, say, a week to complete that one-hour form, the investor just automatically projects that a full due diligence with them will take maybe 6 months.
6 months, just based on that first form delay.
Yeah, they see it as a clear signal. Either you're not that interested, not that urgent, or just not organized enough. And they basically just move on. They have others waiting.
Oof. That feels punitive, doesn't it? I mean, founders are juggling a million things. Sales, product, team. Couldn't there be a genuine reason for a slight delay?
From the investor's perspective, it's purely about signaling. Their argument is, if you can't prioritize this specific task, the one that could unlock significant capital, what does that say about your internal priorities? In their view, that initial response speed is a direct proxy for your future operational speed. Slow now means slow later, which probably means lower returns for them.
Okay, I see the logic, even if it's harsh. It reframes it away from being nice towards just minimizing risk based on early data points.
Exactly.
Which leads us neatly into hint five, right?
Sure.
Rejecting that mindset of, I need a meeting, nothing else works for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The investor points out they're looking at hundreds of companies every single month. Imagine if they gave every single founder who asked a personal 30-minute meeting. It would just eat up, like, more than half their working hours.
So the process, including that standardized metrics form, it's not optional. It's fundamental to how they operate at scale.
It's non-negotiable. They need the data delivered in a consistent format, one they, quote, are able to manage, understand, and process.
So if you're the founder saying, oh, my idea is too complex for a form, I need to explain it in person, you're essentially rejecting their system.
You are. And you're signaling that you might be, well, high maintenance later on. If you can't follow the process now, design for efficiency.
You'll probably be difficult to work with as a portfolio company.
That's the implication. And high maintenance is often a deal breaker.
Okay, so let's shift from process to the actual pitch itself. We've passed the reading, listening, and timeliness tests. Now, what about delivery? This brings us to hint six, beyond the canned pitch.
Right. This is where you can almost feel the investor's fatigue setting in. They state very clearly they are not interested in hearing, quote, another 100 or more practice pitches that month.
Wow, okay. So all that pitch coaching might actually work against you here.
Potentially, yeah. What they say they prefer is for the founder to just briefly explain, quote, in your own words, who you are and what you do.
That sounds almost simple, but counterintuitive, maybe. The goal, the source says, is making a meaningful human connection.
Exactly. And those super polished canned speeches often get in the way of that connection.
So they value what? Humanity, humility, authenticity.
Yeah, along with a really crisp tagline. They value that more than rehearsed perfection. They even make a joke about it.
Oh.
They say if they wanted a perfect artificial delivery, they'd just ask for an AI audio clip using like a celebrity voice.
Okay, point taken. It's about being real.
It is. And interestingly, they also stress the value of paying attention to others during these pitch sessions. Founders can apparently learn a lot just by listening to how other CEOs introduce themselves and interact.
That loops back to the listening point, doesn't it? If you're just waiting for your turn, you're missing learning opportunities.
And you're showing you're not really engaged with the whole process, just your own performance.
It all connects. Failure to read, failure to listen, delivering a canned pitch. It's all a lack of adapting to the actual situation and the actual human you're talking to.
Yeah, like a systemic lack of situational awareness.
Yeah.
It's fascinating how these seemingly small things build a bigger picture for the investor.
Okay, let's move on to the final hurdle, which sounds like it might be the most frustrating for the investor. Sheer attitude. This is hint seven.
Yeah, this is where entitlement really comes under the microscope. The investor talks about getting complaints about everything.
Like what?
Like the small fees they charge non-invited founders to access the metrics forms. Or even complaints about, like, their website design.
Seriously? Complaining about the website design to a potential investor?
Apparently so. And they note some founders act as if the investor's main job is to make that specific founder rich.
The you exist to fund me mentality.
Or that the founder's just so magnificent that the investor would be an absolute fool to pass them up.
That sounds like a terrible approach. Basically telling the investor, you need me more than I need you.
And the investor's response is incredibly blunt. I am not here to get you rich. and they pose that central question of hint 7. Do you really think that by putting down the investor, you are going to get them to invest?
Rhetorical question, obviously. The answer is a hard no. It's a guaranteed way out.
Of course, because that attitude immediately signals you'd be a terrible partner. The investor is clear about their own motivation, make money, and maybe change the world in ways they find meaningful.
Right. They enjoy helping good people, sure, but the bottom line, as they stated, is crucial for founders to hear. I don't owe you anything.
Exactly. That sense of entitlement is just toxic in this context.
And what about those complaints about fees? How do they justify charging anything?
Well, the source points out that this specific investor actually provides a lot of free opportunities, maybe more than most accelerators they know of, like free video reviews of websites done by humans.
Okay, so there's value being offered for free already.
Right, and the paid services, like that Metrics, form access for non-invited folks. Or they mention a short course on selling to investors for under $200. That's just part of running a sustainable business. It's not a charity.
That context helps. And tying this all back to the very first point about reading, there's one last little test hidden in the source material itself, isn't there?
Huh. Yeah, it's kind of meta. The investor actually says they'll treat people who mention reading the full article in their email in a friendly manner.
A little reward for paying attention.
But they immediately add the caveat. Even those people still have to fill out the Metrics form. Friendliness doesn't get you a pass on the process.
Process is king. Uh-huh. Okay, so wrapping this all up, the core lesson across all 7 hints seems clear. It seems the biggest hurdles aren't really about your tech or your IP or even your total addressable market, are they?
Not at this initial filtering stage, no.
It's more about attention to detail. Respecting the process, acting with some urgency.
Absolutely. The whole system seems designed to quickly weed out founders who are high maintenance, slow moving, or just not detail oriented immediately.
It demands discipline, humility, and just focusing on the actual relationship you're trying to build with the specific investor and their process.
Well put. And the investor basically concludes, look, if you don't like being questioned, if you don't like being critiqued, you probably shouldn't be reading their articles.
And definitely shouldn't be looking to them for money.
Definitely not.
Which brings us to our final thought for you, the listener. It's kind of provocative. This investor, despite this really rigorous, almost harsh-sounding process, still hosts a monthly free advisory call. It's usually like 9 a.m. Pacific time on the first and third Thursday. And they do it specifically so founders can share their own situations and actually learn from hearing others get critiqued. Live.
Learning in public.
Exactly. Yeah. So the question isn't just if you want the capital, it's are you genuinely willing to put your ideas out there, to really listen when you get corrected, and maybe even embrace being critiqued publicly, all for the sake of learning faster?
That willingness, maybe that vulnerability to receive tough feedback. Maybe that's the real price of admission here.
Something to definitely mull over as you think about your own approach. We'll see you on the next deep dive.